We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
For the third offense, they should not be able to play in the playoffs. They should be kicked out of the postseason. They really should be.
This is BS.
Man, you must be motherfucking kidding.
Dale Arnold.
You guys know that video of something you don't really need for right now is B-roll?
B-roll is stuff that you can play in the background.
What are we doing this for? Why are we doing it?
B-roll.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Rich Keith.
He'll take your daughter.
Your wife's taken care of.
He'll walk your dog, if you know what I mean.
Degenerate Santa.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
Is this Dale and Keith?
I have no comment on that.
Do not have anything to add.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. It's a Friday. Andy Hart is in the house. Mutt is in for Dale today. A lot to get to, as there always
B-roll.
Is. We got B-roll talk. Nobody does it better than us right here on Sports Radio WEEI. We got our weekend review coming up at noon 30. But how about a little baseball chatter?
About it.
Baseball. Mutt's the baseball guy. Mutt's
sure
the,
I am.
The pre and post guy what was at one point for a while.
I might be again this year. Don't know.
I have
no idea what happens come baseball. Mutt at night goes away because it's Red Sox. I don't know what I'm doing come baseball season.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Joe.
I think you might have the old Mikey shift. Nice 10 minutes.
God.
Call it a day.
Are you listening?
Call it a day.
Please, sweet Jesus.
Let's go back to Mike.
Thank you, Joe.
OMF goes to break late. They should all of a sudden, you're
OMF
not
should
on.
Go. I think OMF, you've said this off the air.
Yeah.
They should go right to the pregame.
I think so.
There's keep no it. Real need for yeah. a show there. I want more Glenn.
Because they had a guy more for B-roll. 2 years that was always on until 6:30 or 7. They just did that.
Who was that sucker? Right
that. That would be me.
Oh.
That
would be we did me. Shows together like, for a while.
We did. We did for a while. But there's a lot of talk about trading David Price. But then there's also, I think all season long, there was the talk about, are they going to have to trade Mookie Betts because he's not going to want to be here? And Mutt, you're saying you absolutely trade one of the best players in baseball.
Well, I'm jumping off our friend John Tomasi, who writes over at NBCSportsBoston.com. Yes. He used to work here. John, miss you. Please come back.
Another
soon.
Baseball
join
guy.
Us on Mutt at Night. He said the Red Sox could attach Mookie Betts to a David Price trade in order to trade David Price. And there's this feeling around here that they should play out the year with David Price or with Mookie Betts, and you know he's the final year of his deal, and get the most value for him, and let him play for you because you can contend. They're not contending this year. They're a wild card contender at best, and they're probably not even that. They're signing guys like Martin Perez and some middle infielder from Cincinnati.
Like
sure, great. It's a million ERA a year ago.
Well, what was Rick Porcello's ERA?
A million.
Million and
he
a half.
He got 10 from the Mets.
I don't want him. I'm glad he's gone.
My whole point
a
is
different guy who stinks.
If yes. if fresh blood.
If he's going to walk away at the end of the year, which we all, anyone think he's going to resign
like
here?
Doesn't feel great, okay. No.
Now, what are the chances, great. Though, if he does play out the year and they just offer more money than everybody else? Do you think he'd stay?
No.
Even
no?
For, even for the
oh,
most
I do.
Money?
I think for the
like
most money.
He seems like a guy
money.
Who wants to, he referenced setting up the next generation of
right.
players.
Papelbon-esque.
He wants to go to free agency. Right, Papelbon wants to be the highest paid closer. Betts wants to be the highest paid player in the history of the game.
They all have this belief that as a good union member, you need to raise the bar and push it further and further
right.
and do it for
so
the next generation.
So if the Cubs offer him $450 million and the Red Sox are like, hey, you're $460 million, you don't think he takes the $460
million? Like, okay, let me...
It's insane.
Seems right. a little high.
I don't think so. Given the
I think it's high for anybody. If Babe Ruth crawled out of the freaking grave...
No, you'd give that to Babe.
What did Rendon,
I would not.
Back in pitch, he can hit.
Do they understand
that... hot dogs, save those kids' lives.
Do they understand that I don't think... You know how every business thinks that the arrow is just always going up?
I can't believe you wouldn't pay Babe Ruth $46 million.
I would not.
Would you pay Babe Ruth? 617-779-7937, the phone number. With inflation, what would you pay Babe Ruth?
Ted Williams.
It's a fair question.
I'd give Teddy ballgame whatever he asked for. Blank check for Teddy.
Just the head or the whole body, too?
No, that's not fair.
Because just the head, I don't
He's
know what
a
would
Star
swing
War
bat.
Pilot, and he could hit 400. That's
yeah.
worth something.
But Mookie Betts...
$460 million.
Well, I mean, it might be like a 14-year deal or whatever. Like, I don't know if it's going to be...
You won't ever regret that, a 14-year deal.
So let's go back to your question is right. I guess technically, if they offered $1 more, he might sign here. I am just so planted on the idea they're not going to offer the most because they've had now 2 years to overpay him and give him something that would make it
But he's turning
worth,
that down.
Because they've not offered him the big Mike Trout deal yet. Because I think he's getting Mike Trout
more
money.
He wants more than Trout.
I think he's getting it. Don't you? When he gets so all these teams that have budgeted for guys like Rendon or Trout, they're not coming up to free agency now.
So you think
Mookie Betts will be a generational player available, and somebody, whether it's the Atlanta Braves or the Cubs or Dodgers,
but
they're going to overpay beyond belief for him, and the Red Sox will not.
So you think it's more likely that the Red Sox wouldn't offer him the biggest contract more so than Betts wouldn't take it here?
Correct.
Yes.
I'm with Mike on that.
All right.
And if that's the case, if you already know you're not going to pay him,
if you can overpay
what the market's going to pay him.
Chris Sale with signs of breaking down or David Price, if you can overpay those guys, you do it. You don't overpay Mookie Betts, apparently.
Well, I think you might if you hadn't overpaid those guys. There's the problem. You can't overpay everybody.
All right. So if you trade away David Price and you don't have to include Mookie Betts in it.
What
now
dollar are we attaching to David Price right now? Or are we now on the idea that we're just sending a good player? Because I've heard the theory from Rod Bradford and others that it's going to take money and a player.
Well, that all depends on what you're going to get back.
And what kind of player you're giving up and what's the return? Like, if you're dumping him, it's probably just money. He's got 3 and 96 left on his deal.
Yeah, 3 and 96.
So how much are you paying?
97.
I mean,
don't want to pay him to
I'd
play
pay
elsewhere.
I'd pay 10 a year to play elsewhere.
With his unique elbow.
I'd throw in $30 million to go pitch elsewhere. If you're so
you pay for one of the seasons, basically,
yeah,
and then he's gone for two.
And if it meant not
split
attaching
it up
a player.
$10 million over each
year. So is this just is this totally... Remember the old games on Nintendo where you're in a season-long thing and you had to press the reset button because you didn't want the stats to save because you had your first loss of the year?
Well, Tecmo Super Bowl.
Is this a reset season?
Times.
Are we pressing the reset button with this season?
No,
is that all this is?
No, or
Red
Sox clean the
year.
Books, wipe the board.
And it's bridge year is what they prefer to call it.
Okay.
And
I call it a reset season.
Are you mad about that? Because I think they have to do that.
I'm a little mad about that.
The way baseball is set up. You have to
so
eventually.
So we're a small market team now.
No, feels no,
like
but
it.
The penalty
feels like a small
so
market team with a small market GM.
Small market GM, you're right.
Well, they have a small market GM.
I don't think
GM.
He is going to blossom here.
He's got Jose Perez. Stop it. Stop. I'm telling you. If we bring up Bloom again, you can't bring up any kind of flower joke.
Can I go home?
Yes.
Oh.
You are allowed to leave. That's my authority.
You know when
John's
flowers
over the door
blossom
for
is in the spring.
So according to MLB.com, five teams are in play for David Price, apparently. The Padres, Cardinals, White Sox, Reds, and Angels. So if those teams are interested, I don't know if they would need Mookie Betts or Andrew Benintendi or something to be attached to him.
Okay, so
but just don't
if
expect
it's
to get
Betts,
anything in return.
If it's Betts, we're talking a blockbuster deal, right?
That would be
because
you're
sending Betts and Price,
you're getting back
a good prospect.
Yes.
Yeah, a package of players.
What could you get in a trade right now for Mookie Betts? Because I think Team X is going to have to deal with the exact same thing the Red Sox are, which is he's not going to sign right now. He's going to play out the year, and then he's going to want a ton of money. Maybe it is from us, maybe. But there's no guarantee.
Right. If I have to pay him the most money to get him.
Why am I giving up all my prospects
for
him?
It makes no unless you're just flat out trying to win right now for some very specific internal reason.
And there's probably a one or two teams out there that are like this. He would fit our needs right now. We could win right now with him. We'll give up a top prospect. It's a tough needle to thread.
It is. And another question I think that hasn't really come up too much is how much longer do you think Mookie Betts will be an elite player?
Not 14 years.
Definitely not 14. I mean, Garrett Cole just signed a 9-year deal. He's not going to be good for all nine of those.
No, he won't.
Right? And I just think Mookie Betts, again, is he Andrew McCutchen? Again, everybody's a little bit different, but if that's one of the comps that you want to use, Andrew McCutchen was a guy who, you know, had some speed, had some power, you know, not one of these. He's not built like Mike Trout. He's not built like one of these power-hitting first basemen and was really good. Was an MVP at one point. But like a running back in the NFL, he hit 29-30 and done. He was like an average player at best after that. Could that be Mookie Betts? Could that be a guy that all of a sudden, he's like 180 pounds.
I'll use another
break down.
This is local. Jacoby Ellsbury. Jacoby Ellsbury had that flash in the pan year. And then you could
Betts
see
has been more
you could see him declining here. Yeah,
Betts is a way better player.
But there was a similar sort of a pattern, right?
But, where right.
He
peaked, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Sort of plateaued, and then
I think that's,
never the player.
I think McCutchen's
that the Yankees
a fair.
Okay.
And the injuries were a massive part
McCutchen,
of that.
McCutchen went from his age 25 to 28 season, finishing third, first, third, and fifth in the MVP voting.
That is Mookie Betts.
And then never even got a vote after that. You never got a sniff after that. The guy is washed up. He's no good. He plummeted, like his stats plummeted. I don't know if that's
well, Barry Bonds took off in his thing.
Barry Bonds got better.
Would you guys pay? Would you guys pay Betts Mike Trout money? Because I wouldn't.
See,
that's why I'm also okay trading.
I have done
him.
A 180 on it. Like a year ago this time, I said give him whatever he wants and just lock him up. Nope, not anymore.
I would pay him.
I would not. You got a great deal in Xander Bogaerts. He's more your future. He's a guy I do think is going to be good for a long time. I'll take my chances with Devers.
So you don't think Betts is going to be good for a long time?
I don't think he'll be great for a long time.
Why? Bogaerts over him?
I think their build,
power.
So you're big on the stature. Yeah, the Trout is thicker.
Yeah.
That the smaller guy can't hold up. He's going to lose his power, lose his bat speed.
How about Dustin Pedroia?
They almost all do.
Fit that role, right?
Sale,
undersized
Tim
second
Lincecum.
Baseman. I know he got hurt, but his power flashed for a year, and that was it.
Just crossed over into pitchers. That was a
But they also broke down, too. I just think Bogaerts is more likely to be good long-term than Betts is. Again, could be completely wrong, but that's just...
I just have a theory. Not a theory, but like working with the idea. You brought in Bloom to do what?
Rebuild.
Shed payroll.
Rebuild.
Shed some payroll, but you still
draft
are not. I joke about it. You're still not a small market team. So in theory, you want him to maximize portions of his budget in one area, right? But also, he has the ability, because it's the Boston Red Sox, it's Boston, it's a $200 million plus payroll. He's going to have tentpole type players forever, franchise players, right? He always is going to have the opportunity to sign $30 million players. Now, maybe you don't want too many of those. Maybe there's a specific budget for those types of guys. Now, it's fair for you to say you don't think Betts is one of those guys long term.
I don't.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't really. Because to me, because he does everything so well, he's always going to do some stuff well, right? Like, you're never going to say this guy stinks.
But how long?
I don't even
like,
want him in the lineup.
But how long
what's
is
the most
the
important
speed
thing?
There?
What's the most important thing? The power. Right, so
that's what elevates him to MVP elite player. Yes,
that's why Rendon's going to get the money and Trout, like, because they have elite power. Bogaerts flashed this year finally.
Yeah,
he has elite power, especially in that ballpark. Betts is a great, great, great hitter. Does he have the elite power that gets these guys paid that sort of money?
You don't want Betts in 4 years if he's batting .308. With 8 home runs.
I don't want to pay Mike Trout money. Nope.
Not a $36 million a year.
And I think the next layer of this, you brought this up, you touched on it, Rich, is Devers. What you think of Devers.
Yeah.
Because if you're making a similar decision with Devers down the road.
Probably want him to DH.
You want to. Yes, but I'm just talking about as a hitter, as a core of your lineup hitter. If you think Devers is going to be that longer, and you probably do because he's thicker based on your.
Yeah, I think he probably has a better chance of being good.
And certainly,
over the long haul.
If he DHs,
I
think that extends his career,
right?
Given his build and everything. If you think that, then that's when you let Mookie walk, because you're not going to have all of those guys. Not going to continue to just hand those contracts out.
But the Red Sox are a big market team, like you said. We all agree they should be spending in the top 5% of teams in baseball.
Yes.
So last year they spent $243 million.
Number one in the league.
If you want them to go back to that, you have to get to 208 this year, because when they do that, they save $100 million. That is the real actual physical number for Major League Baseball. That's why it's imperative they do, and that's why I know you're annoyed by it. I think the Red Sox fans annoyed by it. It's just the way business is done right now. You've got to have one little reset year where at 208, by the way, you still should be competitive. I'm not saying they're going to go out there
my
and
God,
go
look at all these other teams.
60 games.
But it's going to be the right 208. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, that's
if you're wasting money on
you said what's
that stink.
What's Chaim Bloom's job? Be the right 208. You know, is Perez
when
for
Sale
million,
misses a month, the guy you bring in has to be good, has to win.
Well, that's the other thing. They spent all this money on a guy who I love, and he's built for Boston, but his shoulder or elbow might not
built
be built
baseball.
For pitching.
Oh, God.
That's the issue.
No, that's what you're looking at. And so that's why if you can trade Price away for anything, and even if, you know, I think the negotiation will be how much of it, like you
But you also have to replace him. There's been times where Price has been your best pitcher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Significant periods of time.
Yeah.
And
also,
but
being
I mean,
your
again,
biggest pain in the ass.
I
also
agree 100%. But you also need quality starts. I saw, you know, everybody was talking about the Angels because did you see the number? They had 22 quality starts last year as a staff. Out of 162 games, they got 22 quality starts.
Yeah.
Cole had more individually than they had. That's why they went after him.
Wow.
But you don't want to drop into that world by getting rid of Price and now scrambling.
Who's
coming up from the Woo Sox to pitch?
Are they going
to
go with the opener technique, which they've done in
Tampa?
God, I hope
not.
They did at the end
not.
Of last year.
I
think a lot of teams are starting to do it.
They are.
I'll be starting to do click.
Yeah, stop.
It's got to be something else on.
People are doing that already. Rodriguez is and Martin Perez, there's two starters right there. But after that, if they have to trade, shed some payroll, yes, you're going to see what a lot of teams in baseball are doing.
Don't sleep on Eovaldi.
It worked.
Eovaldi's got all the time to
recover. They're trading him, too. Trading him.
You had those emotional buys in life. He was an emotional buy. Oh, man, you were great. We got to bring him back.
Yes.
Oh,
one of the main reasons Dombrowski's gone.
Yeah.
One of. It's on the list. I'm not saying it's number one. I think Sale, I think Eovaldi.
Well, bringing the whole team back. Like the idea Pierce. Of, hey, we'll just like, we'll copy what? And paste. Yeah, we'll copy and paste this season
and
into
it'll
next
be
year.
The exact same.
It's like the Patriots offense. It didn't evolve. The Red Sox didn't evolve and they got their didn't. Asses kicked. And so they said, well, we can get somebody else that can kind of help us rebuild and also not make the playoffs.
I also think it was just a big picture thing. Like, Dombrowski's not a guy to cut salary do that the whole reset year, whatever.
The one thing that's for sure is the Mookie Betts situation. You're not going to get a whole bunch of people to agree on it. All right, everybody's either going to say, you got to keep him, you got to pay him whatever
you want.
It's
Boston. We don't trade away our best players. You know what Boston does?
Pay them.
You poach on other teams that are doing exactly that.
Right.
That's how you get your best players.
And that's why, I mean, this guy, I know he signed a couple of, like, you know, utility guys, but his first major move is what do you do with Mookie Betts? And it's going to piss off, like, half the fan base, no matter what he does.
See, I don't think it does.
Really? So if they
you don't
them,
think fans are going to be pissed the day that they announce that they've traded Mookie Betts for a bag of balls?
I think you guys are overrating the reaction of Mookie Betts around here.
People, I think you are underrating the passion for we're Boston. No. We have elite players. We got to deal with Betts and Brady leaving in the same calendar year.
Okay, do not compare those two, please.
Well, MVP you compare candidates. Him to Ellsbury, though. So he's not Ellsbury. He's also not Tom Brady. Let's find like a position where
you said McCutcheon, who no one around here knows.
They're diehard baseball fans out there. People love that stuff.
My Red Sox review people MVP. Don't know Andrew McCutcheon.
Right,
they don't.
Fine.
Really?
I'm telling
look
you.
Look him up.
At the
he's
end of the year,
thing.
Taking
really
calls
Pittsburgh.
To like 1 a.m. here on the station. People were, they were resigned to the fact you're going to trade Mookie Betts. And because Bogaerts blossomed this year.
That helps.
And because Dever popped.
He made a joke about blossoming.
Yeah, but he said Bogaerts did. He didn't say Hiram Bloom did.
I think they're okay with you. I think you're overrating
wait,
the reaction.
Wait, but this isn't a place where you... It's Boston. It's just because the shortstop blossom doesn't say, okay, so get rid of your MVP center fielder.
What's the worst
you know,
reaction?
We're a small market team. Okay. You can't have two great players.
I do think Mookie Betts will be traded at halftime of the divisional round game of the Patriots.
And it's smart move.
See you later, and we're not even gonna mention it. That Monday, Pats lose to the Ravens. It might not even be in the trending that Mookie Betts get traded.
So what's worse, though, if you're a Red Sox fan? They trade him now, a year left on his deal, and get something small in return, possibly, or letting him walk for a second-round pick. That, to me, that is a much worse fan reaction.
Well,
he plays all year and is great,
do you grab
and
a
he
wild
walks
card?
Away.
If you grab a wild card, then
a one-off wild card where you lose
to
the...
And you win that game. Maybe you send Eovaldi to the
Ranger.
Mound. You win that game. The guy, remember he pitched against the Dodgers. He pitched
it was awesome.
The playoff spot, that one
like
and done.
3 a.m.
Oh, the game they lost? You mean the game they lost? Yeah, the game they lost. But if they're a non-competitive, then it's a no-brainer. But if they somehow... get into the playoffs, which again does seem a bit unlikely.
Well, that's
do you
another
think they're
one.
Ready?
Competitive and people and them
that's
saying,
brutal.
"Hey, look, yeah. Mookie's still here. Awesome." People, I don't think they tune in individually for one outfielder who hits. Like if the team's not good,
no, but it's part of it.
It's
you
gonna
tune
be,
in
hey,
for
why
talent.
Is this guy still here?
You tune in for entertainment. You tune in for those four at bats that are more entertaining than the jag that's replacing him. Right?
Do
you think fans are ready for the reset year? Do you think fans are ready?
I do.
So, are the bosses at NESN and WEEI ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Because
I mean,
if you put
ideal.
A team out there,
it's not ideal, but
the Yankees just went out and got the best free agent, correct?
Yeah,
they look like they are an absolute wagon, correct?
They seem pretty. They seem
so
like they don't
unless
right
they
now.
Have a fall in their face of epic proportions,
it happened.
They're going to roll, correct?
Yeah, we yes.
And so are you ready for fans to not watch and not listen? Because if you trade Mookie Betts and the Yankees are running away with it, what's going to happen?
Well, I guess that's a different. I don't think Mookie Betts necessarily means you can't be. I think they can be competitive. Trading Mookie Betts, they can still be competitive. They still have a good middle of the order. They have J.D. Martinez.
Not
they have
as
Xander
good,
Bogaerts.
Though, right?
They have Rafael Devers. No, but it should be enough to keep
you can't
you in the
trade
game
an MVP candidate and convince yourself, we're just as good, guys. We're fun to watch.
Bruins did it with Thornton.
If
they
you're
traded
winning,
him away, they were great.
No matter who's there, if they're winning, people are going to watch, right?
People will watch. I mean... Betts helps, though. Betts was the guy that you wanted to see.
And
for sure.
He affects everything. He plays deep, right? Like, he's not just
very good
you have to wait for a home run. He can affect the game in so many
he's
ways.
Exciting.
He's an entertaining lightning rod visual player.
Which is rare in the game.
Right, and you're just going to get rid of it and say, reset year, good luck, enjoy the show.
I got some bad news for you. No Michael Irvin today.
Oh.
Sorry.
Is that confirmed?
It has been confirmed.
He's holding a paper in front of him.
Well,
he's got an update.
Isn't it in our deal? If no Irvin, we go home.
We
I believe that is
that
an
right?
Idea. Yep. Not you. Right. You actually are staying through the
keep
OMF show. Yes.
That's probably fine. Had we had Michael Irvin, it would have been brought to you by your Anderson Windows dealers and by the VA New England Healthcare. Get the benefits you deserve at vacares.us and NE Honda or New England Honda dealers driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Any Honda.
I read what's
any Honda's a good
I read
Honda.
What's in
we
front
love
of me.
New England Honda dealers. Right, meanwhile, well, I wish they had those phone. Remember those airplane phones We'd like pull it off the
phone. Oh, yeah. Seat. Slide your credit card.
If they had those, important. Michael Irvin's joining us from the
plane. Oh, I'm sure that'd be a great connection.
Oh,
sure.
Why not? Really strong.
We'd get the laugh, probably, though.
Better than some of the Patriots that call in.
Why don't we just re-rack where I asked him about McDaniels and Brady? It's news to some people.
Tally-ho.
All right, maybe we will. Maybe we'll do that. All right, we'll turn our attention to the Celtics. Had a close loss last night to the Philadelphia 76ers. In fact, their first home loss of the season. We'll get into that. Your phone calls as well, 617-779-7937. Dale and Keith with Andy Hart and Mutt.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I actually called Shaq yesterday and just, you know, he thought I was mad at him. I was like, nah, I understand what he was saying. I've had a down year so far. You know, I just wanted to talk to him. You know, I've been kind of frustrated just because, you know, you're not playing the same way him and Charles, whatever they say. You know, I think it was great for me.
That was the most predictable thing in the world. Joel Embiid got called out by Shaq and Charles Barkley, and they were saying that he's really not at that next level yet. And so he goes out there against the Celtics, has 38 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists, and they hand the Celtics their first home loss of the season. It's a tough matchup, Philly against the Celtics. Philly is enormous. They didn't even have Al Horford, but they have the tallest starting lineup in the league, maybe in league history. It's got to be in the mix. Whereas the best Celtics lineup is very small. So it's polar opposites. And Philly, once again, gets the better of the Celtics. And Philly's not the Bucks. Like, the Bucks are running away with the conference right now. They've won like 16, 17 games in a row. The Sixers have a similar record. And as much as I like the Celtics team, this would be a brutal playoff matchup.
It'd be fun, though.
For them? Oh, my God.
I think for the season.
I think it might go for 1,000 points.
I think it might get dirty, too. I do not think they like each other. And I'll be honest, I do not like them.
No, they're
easy. Ben Simmons rubs me so wrong. Like, I just want to punch him in the face.
They did, like, a documentary on him when he was getting drafted, like, his last year. And I think it was, like, on Showtime or something. He's easy to not like.
Yeah.
He's very easy to not like. And then
that the three that Kemba shot last night, and he shoved Tice into Kemba.
Yeah.
Like, and then his reactions. Kemba tried to give him a hand up at one point. He went to the rim, and he just ignored it and laid there until some other teammate came.
I don't like him either.
He stinks.
He's in his own world. But, I mean, that was a tough matchup because the guy that, you know, was good at defending Embiid now plays for that team.
Right.
He didn't play last night, but Horford was the one guy you had in your roster that would slow him down. And you saw it last night. I mean, Cantor had a good offensive night, but he just can't.
No, defensively, it's not there.
He flicks him away, and he makes plays. Like, near the basket, he makes plays away from the basket. They have no answer to that. That'd be a brutal, if it's a 4-5 matchup in the first round.
Oh, God.
I don't think you're getting out of that round.
You're one of your best players, Tatum, couldn't hit the broadside of a
barn.
Well,
Tatum has nights like that, and that's what's separating him from being like an all-star right now.
Right.
It's like there's too many of these. What was he, 5 of 18 last night?
He had a couple late, but at one point he's 3 of 13. In his last two.
It's not like he was missing all threes. He's missing little floaters in the lane that are like hitting the high on the back. But he was just flat out off.
And then one day, yesterday, I finally admitted that I was probably wrong about Jaylen Brown. Probably
wrong.
How
so?
I thought he wasn't going to be that good. It turns out I think he's pretty good.
I still think, and I'm probably the last one here that thinks Tatum can be a better player than Jaylen Brown. All right,
Jaylen
Brown
should be.
No, most people
think Jaylen Brown's a better player.
Tatum
right now.
Is
right
going
now,
to be the better player.
No, right
I still
now,
think
better.
Jaylen's better.
It was
like
the first time in 4 years that I complimented Jaylen Brown, then he goes out there and has 8 points.
Wasn't a great game.
Turned the ball over left there. He's the worst player that they had last year.
You mentioned the smaller team. So it's probably not a great stat that TNT flashed up late third quarter that at one point last night, 17 of 22 Celtics points were scored by Tice and Cantor.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are supposed to be the role players, and you're not going to win a game. Yeah, great.
Brown and Tatum screwed them last night.
It didn't really matter.
No, it was a Brown and Tatum
issue. And that's the story of the season. That's the microcosm of the season. Like, you're going to go wherever those two young stars, and I put stars in quotes because I'm not sure they really are. They've been anointed stars. They're earned stars.
The Eastern Conference doesn't have a ton of talent. It all went west. Right. So out of 12 guys making the All-Star team, like, they still have a chance. I mean, they're not a shoo-in by any means. Kemba Walker will be an All-Star. He had another good game. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, some nights they look like they definitely belong there, and then other nights you're like, ugh, not so much. I thought Hayward looked pretty good. You know,
at least,
you know, he'll go to the basket a little bit.
He's a much better distributor than I thought he was going to be.
He really sets
a lot of guys up for easy layups and dunks.
He might be their best passer.
To me, Tatum and Brown both have become almost like watching Josh Allen in the Bills. Like, you know, no, he's physically talented, and you watch some stuff, and you're just like, wow, he's going to be a star. That size, that arm. And then you watch some more, and you're like, how'd you miss that guy in the flat?
Well, because nobody thinks that Tatum is going to be a star more than Tatum.
That's
the thing. And I don't think Jaylen Brown might think he's going to be great. You have to have confidence, obviously, but I think Brown, I don't know, he seems to play harder more often,
right?
You know, whereas Jason Tatum's like, I know how good I am, so I'll settle for this shot here.
The optics aren't as good because Brown seems to hustle more. But I would say last night was a chance to at least convince yourself as a Celtics fan, maybe they're in that Bucks category. They beat Milwaukee and Philly. You could say, okay, it may be in that stratosphere. Now, I mean, after last night, and I know the call late didn't go their way. There was an arm bar that should have been called.
Yeah, but I mean,
I saw people complaining about the shot clock. Pretty clear. Embiid, like, volleyballed the ball back into the rim, right? He made a good play on that to reset the shot clock to score that bucket. But they're not on that tier. It's the Bucks, like you said, Rich, and then everybody else in the East.
It's really a grouping there, and it's...
Of a bunch of single-digit loss teams that all feel like the same, and I think Philadelphia probably is the best ceiling
right now
of all those teams.
What's the Celtics ceiling? Well, we just talked about it. If Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum
play
make
better,
a huge stride over the final 20 games,
Simmons ends up, you know, being the player we think. They're
I think
a deeper
he is
team.
Who he
no,
is.
No, no, Philly's not deeper. Philly's not deeper. Philly has zero bench. Philly has just their starters, and that is it. Now, it's a good starting lineup.
Yes,
but that is
they're better than your starters. You would say, right? Given their size,
if you go
matchup,
one to one, yes. I mean, I think the Embiid versus whoever your starting center is gap is just so enormous. But then you lose to Indiana the night before, another team that's big, and that could be another 4-5 matchup where now you're going up against Turner and Sabonis in a 7-game series.
Well,
that's the thing.
Emailed last night. What would you trade for a big guy? And I'm just again a simpleton. Who do we know who are going to be available? Like what guys they can even trade for? What you'd want to trade off this current roster?
Turner's the guy that's been rumored for a while. That he may be available.
Miles Turner, Kevin Love.
No, thank you.
No, he's not. He's not a big man. We heard that earlier this week.
He's not a big man.
No, thank you.
I mean, trust me.
He's a big man.
I liked him a couple of years ago.
But he's not a big man.
What about you did there?
Carl Anthony Towns?
In a heartbeat.
Ever hear of him?
Yeah, I think that might work.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you ever hear of him? I don't know, bud. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I'd be a good trade.
Well, we're just going to throw things out there. Why don't we say Shaq or whoever? I mean,
first of all,
what world are you living in?
What world am I living in? The NBA. Every good player on the bad team.
Fantasy basketball.
Every
serious.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's fantasy basketball. No, it's called real
basketball. Are you too tired because you started an hour early?
Did you see the offseason, Andy? Did you happen to notice every star player
changed
his team?
So they're just going to trade him away.
What was the last?
Trade him away. And for what? And for what?
Good player.
And for what?
If you ask it more, thank you, Dale. Every great player who has been on a bad team in the NBA in the last 20 years, they've all gotten traded. They've all gotten traded because they know that they're not going to be able to re-sign them, and they need to get something for them. I'm not saying that the Celtics would be the team that he would go to, but did Anthony Davis get traded? Did Boogie Cousins get traded?
Did
Kevin Love, when he was originally looking All-NBA, did he get traded? They all get traded because they sit there and they say, well, we can't win. And now
so has he
leave
given
us.
Up on his team? Has he stopped playing?
I don't know. I mean, they're not in the playoffs.
No. Because that was part of the Anthony Davis deal. He basically stopped playing. He said, I'm not going to play until you ship me out of town. I'll play every third game and stay loose.
But I mean, Kevin Love with that exact same team was
right.
just 20
Kevin Garnett.
And 10.
They're just going to keep trading away their best players, most often to the Celtics.
Or you can let them walk away.
Kevin McHale back there.
That's a good technique.
Wait, what are you going to trade him?
Where?
Are you going to take Taco and Carson Edwards for Carl Anthony Towns?
Would they take Jaylen Brown?
I don't want to trade him. But I would for Carl Anthony Towns.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Celtics have pieces. I mean, even Gordon Hayward, if you traded Gordon Hayward, he might even opt out. And so if you're just looking to, you know.
So Brown and Hayward?
Brown and Hayward, or
I would do it in a heartbeat
for Carl Anthony Towns. There you go.
I have a big back seat. I can drive him to the airport.
You're going to need to take a roll.
He's having a down year. He's having career year in points.
Because he's
sulking. No. Towns is not.
He's unbelievable year. Highs in points, steals, rebounds, assists, 3-point percentage, and like every other stat.
What's his 3-point percentage?
I don't have it in front of me.
It's probably pretty good.
I went to see Pacers against Carl Anthony Towns at the combine last year. And impressed as I've ever been with a player in person.
Who, Towns?
I was actually, he scored like 27 in the first quarter, and then I was pissed because they sat him out. I was like, I'm going to see a guy score 100 points tonight. And then they sat him out for like the next 12 minutes or something stupid. But he is a ridiculous, yes, I would trade anything you need to trade to get him. I don't think it's realistic. I know everybody's got traded but in the NBA. Do you watch the NBA?
It's not realistic. Like Paul George, all NBA first team players, is bouncing from team to team. Like it's every player.
Okay, sell me on
LeBron
it.
LeBron James has been on three different teams.
I know you do midday radio. You got to kind of chum some things
Why
in the
do
water
I need to
a little
chum
bit.
Chum things in the water. It's not outlandish to think an NBA player who's on a bad team could go somewhere else. It's not that crazy.
It's outlandish to think the Celtics are the team that's going to do it.
Right.
That's what I keep coming back to.
All right.
That's the outlook.
All right.
Did you build the pack? I'm sure you've loaded up the trade.
I don't know what that word was. I just used. It's Jalen Brown and.
And what?
Trade machine.
Seven different first round picks.
Does this work with the cap?
Making the money work.
Get that trade machine. No, I mean, you would trade your first round picks that you have. We get the Memphis one you're holding on to and whatever the other good one is.
We'll give you whatever. We'll give you whatever. Just give us him.
Trade those picks. I mean, it's unlikely. I know he has a long-term deal with them. What do you mean?
You sound like Wiggy. This is like the Wiggy dream deals.
Yeah, but the NBA is dream deals. That's all you see all the time.
Okay, you sold me. I'm excited. Are they selling pre-order jerseys on Celtics.com right now? I'll go get one.
Yeah, you could do that.
Cat jersey.
Oops, I traded the wrong guy. I do not want Andrew Wiggins. Start over. I don't want him. I don't want him at all. Let's go to the phones here. We got Jerry in the car. He joins us next. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You too, Jerry.
So let's revisit the Mookie Betts conversation for a minute,
okay.
Can we?
Sure.
Pitcher that was just signed, was Garrett Cole?
Yes.
His name?
That's right.
He's going to get a check for $3 million every 2 weeks for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Pretty incredible.
Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
There's not a player on the planet who's going to justify that kind of contract come the end of the contract.
What if they win a World Series for the Yankees?
Mookie Betts is going to get
one?
As
priceless.
Much money, if not more. And he is not going to win you that many games.
So you wouldn't pay anybody that amount is your point. You just think the number is too high. Okay.
At some point in time, you're killing yourself. You got nine guys you got to pay.
Well, 25.
To put a team that's going to win. Well, right. Yeah, but the starting nine.
But are you competing?
Put your money.
Are you competing?
Of course you're competing.
That's like going to look at a house and saying, who would spend $750,000 on that? Well, if those three other people are willing, then that's the value of that house.
The cash deal and it's closed in like a day.
Right.
Somebody wanted it, yeah.
How many years do you think Mookie's going to get in his contract? Is he going to get a 10-year contract?
Yes.
Yes, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah. How old is he now?
26, maybe? 27?
So is he going to be worth $30 million a year when he's 36?
No,
probably not.
But that's the cost of doing business, Jerry.
You got to overpay early on. Again, you can count on one hand the 8 to 10 year contracts that have been good that whole time. Probably Manny Ramirez.
Right.
Is like one is I don't know, are there others? Like
it's a little bit like the NFL in that like
I mean, I
you know you're gonna have some dead money every year on your
yeah,
cap.
But you can yeah. cut
just
guys.
Manage
it's nothing
it.
Like the NFL.
Like look at how some
you
of
don't
cut
listen.
Guys.
You're gonna have dead money. That's a guy you cut
and
money. It's a
money.
Budget no, it isn't. If a player's on your team and sucks or you cut him and you're paying him, still dead money. But you have to budget it knowing if you're going to be competitive year in and year out, you're going to have dead money. You're going to have guys on your roster if you're a major league team because you can't cut them because they're guaranteed contracts. That is dead money. It's essentially dead money.
It's not the same dead money, though. Like it's dead.
Okay, what does that mean?
Because in baseball, these are fully guaranteed deals.
Okay.
In football, the dead money is there, but it's not the full entire contract.
No, but it's the dead money.
It's not
money.
The entire
it's the part
like,
I talked
Kirk
about.
Cousins.
It's the guaranteed part. It's the dead money.
But it's not a.
So your budget includes dead money
percentage.
In baseball. Well, it depends how you budget your team. There's NFL
for
teams
the
like the Patriots
players, the
that
percentage?
Have massive dead money hits, and then there's other teams that don't have massive. Just like in Major League Baseball, there's teams that can afford, like the Yankees, to have Jacoby Ellsbury on their books, and then there's other teams that can't. They could never – Bloom in Tampa can never sign that contract thinking he'll be worth it for 4 years, but years 6 and 7, whatever, it's going to be dead money.
right? So it's the same type of mentality of cost of doing business as a team that has money.
See, I wonder if it's harder for the Red Sox because they have to get those star players, the ones you're talking about, right? Because so Bloom could build this Tampa team with the Martin Perez type deals.
Right.
If the Red Sox are trying to make money on the TV and radio side of it, that's where, to Jerry's point, like you have, we're disagreeing on the dead money part of it, but Jerry, the Red Sox have to sign players
right.
like that.
If you're going to raise right. your ticket prices every like year that. And sell your ads every year and expect to be one of these businesses where they all think arrow goes up, revenue right. all year over year, money coming in has to always increase. Well, to get the money to increase, you need people to care.
Right.
You need buzz. You need players. You can't say, you know what? We have this new philosophy. We're getting rid of all the high-priced players.
Homegrown mm-hmm. talent.
We're going to be
Theo.
Fun.
Theo
We're going to be a plucky, fun team. And you know what plucky rhymes with? Sucky.
Oh,
and no one's watching by mid-May.
I thought he was going somewhere else
with
that.
I was a little concerned.
Well, that's not a word.
That it can be.
I mean, suck on it.
You've used it. Come on.
No.
Yesterday,
I never used that word with a Y on the end.
Hannibal wrote a ducky column. I've used that.
Yeah,
word.
I've heard it.
No, never used it.
I've heard it before.
I like it.
Former Bruins goaltender Tim Thomas, who is being inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Oof. We haven't seen him in a long time, and he spoke to reporters yesterday, and it was pretty heavy stuff. We'll get to what Tim Thomas had to say yesterday when we come back here on Dale and Keefe Sports Radio, WEEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Dale and Keith, WEEI.
Walk back in by LaPierre. Deals it on back. Torres. LaPierre. Stopped by Thomas's pad. Then Henrik. Then Daniel. And a save. Thomas rebound. Oh, and another save. Breakaway opportunity. Moving on in. Oh, and a save made by Thomas. Here's Burrows holding. That one tipped to Daniel Sedin. Backhander. Oh, and Thomas reaching behind. Directed right back on for Tambellini. Crossover move in front of the shot. Oh, and Thomas with a save. The Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup. And they pour on to celebrate with Tim Thomas, their heroic goaltender.
Some of the highlights from 2011 when the Bruins, of course, won the Stanley Cup. Tim Thomas won the Conn Smythe Trophy, and he was the man. He was incredible. There was so many highlights from that run by Tim Thomas. And then who would have guessed how things were going to turn out for Thomas after that? Of course, didn't go to the White House. That was one of the first things that popped up when the rest of his team did. Again, not going to the White House in 2011. Sort of not as in vogue as it is now, I should say. And it was also one of those things where, and I don't really care what Thomas's politics were, but it was kind of alarming because the team talked about how important it was for everybody to go then, right? Like, I don't care who was in the White House. That's not the point of this. It was they thought it was a big team activity, and he said no. And then, remember, he started going to Facebook, and there was a whole lot of stuff on Facebook.
He never really explained why he didn't go. He couldn't quite get it a clear answer.
Not really. And
we now know why.
Right. And all goalies, I would say, or 99% of goalies, are a little different, right? They're a little different than the normal player out there. But all that stuff, we didn't really know about Tim Thomas that much until after 2011, where, again, he was the absolute man. And we hadn't heard from Thomas in a long time. Now, his hockey career didn't end with the Bruins. He went to Florida, he went to Dallas, and played really less than a whole season's worth of games with those two teams. And there was that rumor last year during the Cup run that he was going to be one of the banner waivers. And that was like a cool thing, but didn't happen.
Because he had been a recluse for so long, no one had heard from him. The rumors were he's in Colorado or Montana.
Like a doomsday.
In a bunker somewhere.
A doomsday kind
of
guy.
And he decided that the end of the world was coming and he was going to be underground until that happened.
Right. And then so he was named into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. And you heard that, he got that honor. But even still, you're thinking, well, he's not going to go. Right? You're like, all right, that's nice that he got that, but he's probably not going to go. Well, lo and behold, yesterday he was there and he spoke to a whole bunch of reporters. And seemed pretty real and definitely went to some dark places.
I couldn't keep up with watching a game for at least a few years after I stopped playing. In Florida, my last year, at the beginning of December, there was a concussion that changed my life. Definitely. I lost the ability to essentially, I woke up the next morning after it, and I couldn't decide what I wanted to eat, where I wanted to go. I couldn't plan a schedule. I survived following the team schedule the rest of the year and just, you know, made it through that season. But 1 year after I stopped playing, I got what's called a CERA scan, which is a scan where they measure the blood flow of your brain very accurately using radioactive isotopes. And 2/3 of my brain was getting less than 5% blood flow. Mm. And the other third was averaging about 50%. So if you can put those numbers and really think through what that means to where I was, that's where I was. On the ice, I was able to be like 97%, maybe 95% of what I was before. But like off the ice, I just, like I said, I still can't choose. I wake up every, I'm so much better, but I wake up every day and basically, and I have to like reorder everything in my mind for the first couple hours of the day, and then make a list and try to make some choices to get some stuff done, which I've gotten to the level that I can. I couldn't communicate with anybody for a few years. I didn't call my dad. I didn't talk to anybody. And so there was a time period, yeah, where I started to, where I hated the game. I didn't want to talk about this. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to tell the world this stuff.
Wow. I mean, and that's just part of it. We got another part that we'll play here coming up. But we've heard some interviews almost similar with football players, right?
Yep.
When they're talking about the number of concussions they have and how their life has changed. And, you know, we've also seen a number of examples of football players who end up taking their own life, right?
Yes.
And it sounded kind of like that, like in some of the last interviews that they had done. And, you know, I get you certainly put hockey on the list. I mean, a guy like Mark Savard, his life completely changed with some unbelievable concussions that he suffered. And so with Tim Thomas, and again, he wasn't playing with Boston at that time. So it happened in Florida.
I got hit with a puck in a pregame, got hit in the head with a puck.
Yeah. Crazy. Just crazy.
But he also, I was reading Steve Conroy's story in the Herald, also didn't know he did some boxing when he was younger. Played some football, so there certainly could be a number of factors.
Next one could be make it even that much worse.
And then I don't know the details of the chin one, how that was treated, how you dealt with that. But I mean, he obviously had issues if he woke up the next day and basically couldn't function.
Can't organize his life.
Right. Yeah. That's problematic. Now, I do, like, I have no idea the CERA scan he brings up.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit of a skeptic. I would say in terms of the overall concussion world we live in, because I just don't think there's enough information known. Like he said, you know, I had 50% blood flow to the rest of my brain. Is that good? Is that bad? Like
I don't even.
What
know
do
what
I
that
have
means,
right now? Like
yeah.
I have no idea what I'm getting right now, and I may be bad. I may be a moron. I may be an idiot. So
sure,
like I'm not getting
true,
good blood flow to my brain.
No, I know.
So I just think there's so little information. And then you balance that with my belief, there's a lot of crazy people out there that it's not concussions, it's the way they were born, the way they're wired, whatever. And I just think that so much of this mental health / CTE / concussions is just mm-hmm. such uncharted territory for doctors even and patients and where the world is going.
Sure.
But it's unfortunate when you see a guy like this, and we see too many examples. I was just reading the Rahsaan Salaam. The Heisman Trophy winner in Colorado, him killing himself, like so many. And his issues were, you know, sort of combined. And I don't know if Tim Thomas dealt with this, but being the Heisman Trophy winner and like being the goalie.
He didn't want to.
Like, who are you after that? Who are you when the, you know, when they say the lights go out and the cheering stops? Where do you go? Because I got to tell you, one of my big beliefs is people spend too much time in their own heads. Like, I don't think it's necessarily good for a lot of people to go sit in Colorado in the middle of the woods and not have cell phone service or TV and in a bunker and just live in your head.
But if you can't
solitary confinement?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, right. No, that's proven to not be great.
If you can't deal with the day-to-day of life and that's what you're resorting to, I don't think he made the choice to go to Colorado. And I'm somebody who joked on the air about his, you know, bunker in Colorado. But listening to him yesterday, I don't think that was the choice, like, out of want. I think it was out of need that he could not deal with the day-to-day of life after, whether it was, like you said, maybe it's been a long-term thing, maybe reignited by the actual concussion in Florida, but it probably wasn't good for him. But I don't think he had any other choice based on listening to him yesterday.
Well, I don't know. I think the choice, the better choice is treatments, therapists, people around you, making sure. You know, he admits he got to the darkest point where probably considered ending it. suicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you need people around you. I think you need support, because if you just try to figure it out yourself, I think the likelihood for a successful end game is less than if you have other people that have dealt with others, dealt with football players, dealt with concussions, dealt with all this.
And so he, again, had been away from the game, away from former teammates, coaches, all kinds of stuff for a long time. And so he was also asked about, you know, sort of being welcomed back.
Being welcomed back into the arms of the hockey family, so to speak, has been great. It's reminded me of all the great people that I... that I crossed paths with all throughout my career. So, it's been very impactful. I think that was the original question.
So I think that's sort of what, Andy, what you were talking about.
Right.
Is, you know, he's saying how impactful it was to be surrounded by these people again and realizing that they care about him and all that stuff, where you're not going to know that if you disappear or if you... You know, he's talking about he couldn't even call his dad. So how is he going to be able to call a teammate or call, you know, a friend from his past?
It's so hard to ask for help, whether it's this situation or anything
especially
else in life. We are now positioned where, you know, we got to do it yourself, do it yourself. It's almost seen as a sign of weakness.
Well, it's hard
to reach
for,
out and admit something and ask for help.
Hard enough for you or I to do it, Matt, let alone a guy who won the Vezina, won the Conn Smythe, won the Stanley Cup, was like the hero of
the city. To be Tim freaking Thomas.
And who's already been criticized, as you said, Mutt, for... weird behavior
behavior.
So now I'm
Facebook
proving
posts.
People like Mutt right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm giving them more fuel to mock me or make fun of, oh, you're weak-minded or whatever. I mean, this is certainly the new age of mental health for men. You know, you saw NBC Sports Boston did some things with it, and Hayden Hurst, the tight end for the Ravens, is part of it. But it's still a world where... No, I need to figure it out myself. This is me.
I'm a man. I can do it.
You know what I've come to realize? We're all crazy. In our own way, we all have
everybody
issues.
Everybody is.
And I think if we all just accepted that and said, listen, we all have issues. Let's put them on the table. Whether they're anxieties, whether they're whatever, lack of confidence, depression.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a much better world if we could all admit that we're all effed up.
But I do think it's another example of these pro athletes who are... I mean, even just celebrity, right? It's not even just pro athlete. It's just celebrity. Like, when you're at the height and everybody loves you, like, there's only one way to go.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's hard to kind of age gracefully or be that actor that, oh, what a great performance, like, later in your career. It's like, nope, you're not the same. You used to be like this, and now you're like this. And with these athletes, they are the center of attention for a year. If it's great, like Brady, 20, but certainly less for most athletes. And then it's gone. And that's why... You know, to a different degree, we talked about this with Gronk retiring and always kind of teasing his return and things like that. It's like, as popular as you are, it's hard to stay relevant because there's always a new guy. We're watching Lamar Jackson last night. 3 years ago, no NFL fan or most NFL fans didn't know who he was.
Right.
Certainly 5 years ago, you had no clue who he was. And now that's all you're talking about. So it's so easy to forget the guy that was there because somebody's always there to replace him.
And it's also helped. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, especially for football players, because I think – they live as structured a life as anybody, but certainly hockey's the same thing. You don't really have to take care of yourself. You show up, and there's a thing that says the bus leaves at 1:30.
Yeah.
You arrive at the hotel at 2. You go to your room that has already been checked in for you. Then the next bus leaves for the rink. It's all just so structured, and it sounds like he got by, thankfully, to that
he
for his last
that.
Year.
Yeah.
And then when you don't have that, now it's like, what do? Like, I don't feel right. I don't remember what I'm supposed to do today. There's no one calling to tell me what I'm supposed to do today. Like
that's for
change.
Sure.
Well, you said the NBC Sports Boston thing, and I think what they're doing is important. I think Tim Thomas speaking yesterday ends up being important because men specifically have this thing where it's like, no, I'll deal with it myself. And so if you're just a regular guy who's going back and forth 93 every day and you don't feel right – if you see somebody you watched carry the Bruins to a great run, and if that guy's admitting, I needed help, and he said it yesterday in this press conference down in D.C., maybe that helps somebody. Maybe him speaking about his issues helps somebody else. So I give him a lot of credit because clearly he admitted it. He didn't want to do what he did yesterday.
Right.
He wanted no part
of that. Wasn't ready to, actually.
No.
Admitted it.
Yeah.
But I still think we're a major step away in that. I believe it's easier for the hockey player like Tim Thomas or the football player to say, it's the game did it to me. I had concussions.
True,
whereas if I'm the guy on 93 you just brought up, I didn't play professional football. I didn't have a diagnosed concussion like Luke Kuechly, where the whole world saw me get my brain scrambled on national TV. I have to admit, I'm just different. I'm wired differently. I was born different. Yeah. I'm dealing with things. I still think that's the last step to say it's not necessarily concussions or football or CTE. It's the way this inside my brain works, and I need help with it. I can't do it on my own. I don't have the out.
All right, we'll turn our attention back to the New England Patriots. They got a game on Sunday against one of the worst team in the league. But my question is Tom Brady, the season that he's having right now, is he still a, ready for this, top 15 quarterback in the NFL?
God.
Is he a top 15 quarterback? These guys are already kind of shrugging their shoulders.
Are you going to ask the question, or are you going to present the argument he's not?
I'm going to present the argument he's not.
You will present the argument that he's at best the 16th best quarterback in the National Football League.
Well, we'll see where the numbers take us. We'll see where the eye test takes us.
Eye test? Oh, here we go.
Get it all in there.
Is this the Ryan Hannibal eyeball test, or is it the Rich Keefe eyeball?
Or the Wiggy.
Ryan Hanna B.
You're going to have to stay tuned.
It's a lot of different eyeballs testing.
It is Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart and Mutt in for Dale, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.